welcome to episode number 5 of the Walks of Life podcast. I can't believe I've made it this far, and it's so much fun. Thank you for sending me those messages that you have been following the podcast. It's the only reason I'm still doing this. My guest on the podcast today is an underwater photographer, Miss Punya Arora. Punya and me became friends because we did stand up together, but then me and her have had more chats about photography than about anything else. The reason I got her on the podcast because I'm very fascinated by her style of underwater photography. We spoke about how do you start underwater photography, what are the basics of underwater photography, and overall I was just very curious to find out what is different about performing the photography underwater as opposed to that on land. It's a very fun podcast, so if you are into photography or just a general fan of finding things out, this is going to be a great episode for you. So give it a listen, let me know what you think. This is episode number 5 of the Walks of Life podcast. That's not true.
That's kind of true.
Okay, welcome to episode number, I don't know, of... I don't know when I'm putting them up.
So. You can just say welcome to the next episode.
Yeah, welcome to another episode. Punya, thank you for being on my episode. We're
Thanks.
Starting now.
Okay.
Right? No pressure. Just be yourself.
Oh, no.
Or just tone down yourself.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, it's good, like to be these. Good to be here, Punya Arora, with me on this episode of the Walks of Life podcast. Hey, Punya, thanks for getting on.
Hey, Krita, thanks for having me.
Oh, so generic. Nice. Okay, Punya and me are friends for the last 4 years, I think. We met because we both had a drinking problem.
No, I think we remained friends because we have
a drinking problem. That's nice. And Punya is a stand-up comedian as well, just like me. But she has a history of in the world of photography.
History,
yeah. And so for anybody who doesn't know Punya Arora, how would you describe Punya Arora to the world?
Okay, I'm Punya, and a large feature of my life and a lot about me comes from my mom, who is a single parent who brought me up on her own. And it really makes up a huge part of my personality and my conversations, I've started to realize and accept that.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I'm a pretty, I'm a fun, positive person, but I'm not chilled out. And I am starting to accept that as well.
Very good.
This year.
And does not being chilled out affect your professional?
Yes, I am very hard on myself. I'm very critical of myself. I'm trying to be like better about it, but I also think it's what keeps me going. So I don't want to change it too much. Uh-huh. And it also affects my conversations with people, I've noticed, because I've started to see I have lesser and lesser patience with people and lesser tolerance as I go on. And I really like to get things done and move forward. And
Right.
So yeah.
Cool. That's so Punya...
The new and improved.
Yeah, I know. Punya version 2.0.
Yeah.
So Punya and me, of course, can talk about stand-up comedy and the industry forever and ever. But today we're here to discuss your amazing career of underwater photography.
The other side of me.
Yeah. Actually, I was... when I first met you, you were very like involved in that. Like you were taking time off, doing shoots... just like to put content out. But how did this start for you? Like, where did it begin?
The photography?
Yeah. Specifically underwater.
Specifically photography started for me by taking pictures of myself, very honestly. They were not selfies.
Okay.
They were called self-portraits.
Portraits, yeah, yes. Sure.
Where you set up the camera and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's really how photography started for me. And I would take pictures of myself a lot.
Right.
Mainly because also there were not many people around and I'd see a setting where a person, whatever. And after BBM, I did my BBM. And after that, I wasn't really sure of what to do, but I didn't want to take like time off. And so I decided to, long story short, I decided to do this photography course, which was at Light and Life Academy in Ooty, which is a 1-year course. And that's how I got into photography.
Okay. And but you had no interest in pursuing it as a career.
No, I had no interest in pursuing it as a career.
This is like your break year adventure.
Yeah. And same with comedy, actually. Both the things I had no interest in pursuing as a career. It just, they had interest in me pursuing it as a career. So with photography, it sort of happened that after the course, I just kept getting more things and more opportunities and just shoots and whatever, just things that would keep me into it.
Right.
And I didn't want to say no to those opportunities. And I realized, hey, why not? Let's just keep doing this. Then I assisted a photographer in Bombay for a year. And this was all when I was doing photography on land. And underwater happened to me much later, which was much after completing my course.
Okay.
I happened to meet somebody who is a diver and one of India's first few underwater professional underwater photographers, which is Umeed Mistry.
Okay.
And so I happened to meet him. They'd come to give a talk somewhere, whatever. And so I happened to meet them there. I ended up talking to him about it. And again, long story short, he said, hey, you know, you should try it and give it a shot. I'll guide you through it, sort of thing.
Right.
And so he's the one who taught me underwater photography.
So you went you first finished college and then you went and learned underwater photography again.
Yeah.
So that's not like a course. That was just like a fun.
It was like a fun experiment initially to just see how it is. But when I really liked it, then I started doing more things with it. Like I went and did a diving course. Well, first of all, let me backtrack a little.
Yeah.
I went and learned swimming, which I did not know.
When you did your first underwater shoot, did you know swimming then?
No, I did not.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were just like in water.
So the thing
unaware.
Is, I was not scared of water. That's a great place to start,
of course.
Be weird if I
but
was...
But I've also been told, like, when you go diving, like when I did diving, they said that you don't need to know swimming to do diving.
Yeah,
like,
you
two
don't.
Two separate entities.
They are, but you do need to know a basic amount of swimming to do the diving course. Like, so if you were doing just the fun dive, which is what you would have done, then you don't need to know swimming because they have the jacket
have
on
the
you
rocket.
And they take
they
you...
They pull you down to a rope and shit.
But the reason you need to know swimming is because, say, for example, something happens and you have to come to the surface of the water and you have to get to the boat and no one else is around to help you. Just in case of a scenario where you need to save yourself or maybe swim away from an alligator, whatever. just not get eaten alive. Mm-hmm. Just then
so
it's nice to know a basic amount of swimming.
Right. So how important is knowing swimming for underwater photography? Because I'm assuming when you shoot underwater, you're wearing like a buoyancy jacket to hold you underground, underwater.
I would say, look, initially I felt like, hey, it's not because the first time I did the shoot, I didn't really know swimming and I stuck to the shallow end of the pool and I had weights down. So I would just, you know, sink underwater, stay there for a bit, shoot, come back up. But the reason it's good to know swimming is that it just makes you a lot more comfortable with your movements as well.
Because that's one less thing to worry about now.
Yeah. Like, and also, suppose your model doesn't know how to swim. So yeah, let me also backtrack a little bit. I shoot people underwater. I don't shoot wildlife or anything in the ocean as of now. I shoot in a controlled environment.
Right.
Like in a pool or a tank or whatever. I've never shot in a tank, but okay. In a pool.
In a pond.
And
just to make things creative.
Just, why not? If it's deep enough. Yeah. But...
So you shoot people.
Suppose my model doesn't know how to swim or something is happening or someone's panicking. Anything.
Right.
It's always best if you know all your survival skills so that you can also make sure that you're alert and aware and you can take care of people around you.
Okay.
So.
And what are the things can people shoot like underwater? Like you said, you shoot. I'm sure there's no product shoot underwater.
You can. You can shoot everything underwater. Yeah. Like, so when I've, in my underwater shoot itself, I've used props underwater. Of course, you have to know that those props might be destroyed.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've seen a picture that you used once of a guitar.
Yeah, yeah. That was my guitar that's completely ruined.
So that guitar, you've not kept it as memory player.
No, I didn't.
Ye wo guitar hai, which
was No. But yeah, you can use props, but they will be... possibly unusable after that. Like I've seen pictures of people where they've used laptops and things like that as well.
Oh my god, that's an expensive shoot.
Yeah, but I think also you can take stuff like pick stuff that's not working.
Okay.
Like take laptops that can't work or if you're doing a phone, whatever, things that are not working and
use them as props.
Yeah, use those as props.
Nice. So you started working with this person first and did you work with them or did you just learn from him or...
I learned from him. So he was not doing a shoot as such. He just was kind enough to say that I'll guide you.
Okay.
He has this, they have this place where they particularly shoot a pool and things like that. So he said, look, if you can arrange a model and come, I'll guide you through how it's done.
Right.
And so there's a lot that goes into it in terms of, you know, you use the same camera that you're using otherwise. Like I'm not talking about shooting with a GoPro or like underwater cameras that are available. I'm talking about shooting with
your camera,
your DSLR cameras.
Okay.
Except that they go into an underwater housing.
Okay.
And so that housing is, of course, it has a lot.
Yeah.
That you have to take care of because if you miss out even one step, you'd be you could pretty much ruin your camera.
Right. So like if the water goes into the
exactly.
housing.
Exactly. It's gone. It's done.
So that's pretty much how all most shoots are done with a regular camera in a housing. Is that recommended?
It's recommended for professional shoots, yes, because of the image quality. Mm-hmm. The same, you know, it's the same logic that applies on land, that applies underwater. It's just that it's with a case around your camera. It's absolutely the same logic.
Is it more challenging underwater because you can't operate? Can you operate every feature of your
camera? You can, because the housing is made in such a way that it has buttons on the outside, which when you press that button, it is operating that button on
like
the inside.
Like the GoPro case.
Yeah, like a GoPro case. Exactly. Yeah. But just that this has a lot more because you have dials on your camera and you have to, you know, settings that you can change. Uh-huh. It also has lights, strobe lights. If you need to use artificial lightning, then you... wow.
Artificial lighting.
That'd be a hectic
That'd
shoot.
Be fun, yeah.
Artificial lighting. But one of the main challenges that you face underwater is that the light keeps changing really fast and the water moves.
Okay.
So if it's like windy on top and the water is moving, so then it's also difficult like for your model to be still underwater because of that movement.
All right.
So those are a couple of things that are that
really
are challenging.
Make it different from shooting on land.
Yeah, like on land you wouldn't have like wind moving your model like left and right.
So if somebody who's extremely good at shooting on land, if tomorrow they decide to start doing underwater, like you think they can just pick up a camera and do it, or is there something that you really have to master first?
I think they can pick up and do it. Like,
because like you just said, right? Like it's like shooting on land but underwater with lighting challenges.
Yeah, but it's great if you... Like say if you've been shooting on land for long enough, then you know you're really quick with your camera. You don't need to keep looking at your settings. You don't need to keep checking your LCD if it's correct or not.
Okay.
Because underwater, those things are really difficult to do.
Right.
You're working with
time
a limited...
Time for review after each photo.
Exactly.
Is not.
So you're working with a very limited time and sort of things like that.
Correct.
And of course, you can increase that time by using oxygen tanks or whatever.
Okay.
And so you can increase that time, but then again your model will not have that tank on unless you're shooting them in gear.
Right.
But if you're shooting like the model in, I don't know, say fashion outfits and whatever, and they don't have any breathing apparatus attached to them, so you're working with limited time. Because,
because they need to go back up.
Yeah, they need to go back up. Yeah, and they can't possibly hold their breath for
that. Right, so it will take some level of understanding from the photographer to make sure that the model is doing
job
right.
So the quicker you are with it. So if you've been shooting on land for long enough, I would say that you're super comfortable with your camera, that you know your camera really well. You don't have to keep checking your LCD.
Right.
You know your settings really well. You know how to use the light meter really well because you just point the light meter and adjust based on that rather than keep looking at the LCD. So if you're quick with things like that, it really helps you underwater.
Okay.
So that's one of the...
What kind of gear were you using when you started off? Is there like some basic stuff that people start with and then move to more elaborate stuff?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still using the...
You're still using your setup.
But I had a pretty... I started off with a pretty decent setup, which is the underwater housing and artificial lights. And since I had already done the course, I have already done a photography course where I know how to use artificial lighting.
Yeah.
So it was a little simpler for me that way.
Oh, because you already knew the basics of lighting.
Exactly. I already know the basics of lighting a subject and things like that.
Okay.
Lighting people artificially with added lights. So I already know all that. So I didn't have to, as an extra level, study that.
Study that.
But I still don't think it's that hard. It just looks like a very intimidating setup.
Right.
But you know, it's like anything. Like driving feels intimidating before you
the
start.
The first time, yeah.
You're just like, oh my God, gears, wheels, tires, I can kill people. What?
Yeah.
That excitement.
What is like a weird reaction you've got from people for saying that you shoot underwater?
Sometimes people laugh and they're like...
Because like here was my first thought when I found out that this was like there was a complete industry out there for shooting underwater. I was like, how many things are there? Because the first thought was obviously marine life.
Yeah.
That is, which I have seen like documentaries. I've seen on Instagram and all that. And then when I met you and I found out that people actually get portfolios done underwater.
Yeah.
Like how big is this industry?
Well, the weird reactions from people, one of the reactions... the main reaction I get is, who gets this done? Like, sort of like what you have in mind, right?
I had thought,
Like, who gets this done?
Uh-huh.
But there are so many interesting levels to it, and there is really no end to any creative industry, I feel.
Hmm.
There's so much you can do with it. In terms of, it doesn't always have to be a commercial use.
Is there like a underwater wedding shoot?
Yes.
People
yes.
do that?
Yeah, people do that.
Because I already find wedding shoots very cheesy.
Yeah, even I find them cheesy.
Now you take them underwater. Yeah.
That's just added level of cheese.
Yeah.
No, oh but no, but what I will say is it's not just a commercial use that has. It it also can be artistic images.
Right.
And it doesn't always have to be like for a product or for a portfolio for anything. It can just be creating art.
Oh, it can just be, yeah, okay.
Like I have a set of abstracts that I've done. It's just art.
It's just for yourself, like how we shoot when we travel.
Exactly. And yeah. I plan to sell prints of those at some point, starting soon, hopefully. But you're just creating art at the end of the day. You're creating visually stunning images. And that's what it's about at the end of the day.
So it's like shooting anywhere else, except like you have to do a lot of planning before you shoot underwater. Like you can never just shoot underwater like if you're on a chutti.
But I also think that even shoots on land where you're shooting with people.
Right.
And say, suppose you're shooting with a whole team.
Hmm.
You have people, you have the stylist, you have clothes coming in, you have the makeup artist, you have other people on set, you have light people, whatever.
Huh.
I'm just talking like if you're doing that whole shebang shoot.
Right.
Even there you have a lot of planning, even if it's just on land.
Even if it's just on land.
Any shoot where you have a lot of elements that requires a
everything
lot of planning.
Is equally stressful.
Yeah,
actually.
So definitely it also requires planning, same amount.
And how different is like the quality of image you get from like a camera that's already pre-made to shoot underground? Underwater as opposed to like the housing and full network, the system that you use, because now you have phones that can shoot underwater. Like so, you just take these waterproof phones.
Yeah.
They pretty much shoot underwater.
Yeah. That is actually a really interesting question because I like how I'm complimenting on the
Thanks.
Question. Like, well done. No, but why that's a really great question is because now we are in that age where there is so much, right? There are GoPro cameras. There are other cameras from companies like GoPro that go underwater.
Yeah.
We literally call them also GoPro.
Yeah.
But
all action cameras are GoPros just, right now. Yeah, I know.
But there are phones that go underwater. And a lot of these cameras, they also have great image quality.
Yeah. So like I went on this trip right now to Himachal, and my friend whom I went with is a photographer, but he didn't shoot a single picture on his camera. He just had a OnePlus 6. He just shot everything on that.
Yeah, which takes great pictures.
Yeah, it takes better pictures, like much easier to like shoot on them.
Yeah.
And like now there's like...
Yeah, it is a lot of fun and there is a lot of that. But one of the things that comes, that still comes with having a DSLR is you have more control over your settings, over your, over your light, whatever you want to control over the light.
You can control each individual.
You can control each and every individual. So some things do match up to image quality, yes.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot more control in that. Another thing is, some of them don't always match up to image quality. So there's that also. Another factor is with phones, they don't go that deep, I think.
Not a lot of them. You can't go like deep sea diving level.
I don't think there's any right now.
You can
maybe
take a pool. You can take a selfie in a pool.
Yeah, right? You can. Yeah. But maybe not just a selfie. Maybe you can go slightly lower also.
Yeah.
But again, that also has like a limited time frame to it.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. I've heard. I've not used a phone that goes underwater.
Yeah, I mean, it's like those water-resistant watches that have a certain
exactly. So
limitation.
There are those limitations to it. But yeah, I mean, it's a great start. If anybody just wants to start to have fun with it,
then
a GoPro is really a great place to start. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Have you done, in terms of, like, if you have to look at it as a hobby of underwater photography, have you done substantial amount of in this field? Like, have you taken enough photos as a hobby? Like, did you go diving just to take photos? Have you ever done that?
So I did a dive course,
okay.
But I have not gone diving just to take pictures. Now again, in terms of doing a dive course, it has levels. So the first level is the open water where you get to dive.
Oh, wait one second. Before you say that, the reason I'm asking this question is because, like, in all fields you have some, if you're calling it art, right, then you need practice.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm assuming that you can't just directly just take two sessions underwater and then start billing people for it.
Definitely.
So where do you get your practice? Which is why I asked, is hobby underwater photography even a possibility? Like,
Look, with anything that you want to make money from, it depends on how much time you want to put on, right. put in it, right? And so if this is something that somebody wants to do, then yes, this is something that they're going to have to find a way to do more regularly.
Yeah.
So even if it means like taking a friend and saying, look, I'm going to take certain pictures of you just because I need to practice to get quicker, then yeah.
Find a pool, find a friend.
Exactly. Find a pool, find a friend. Same thing with doing any other profession, like with stand-up comedy.
Which find, what open mics
find an open mic, get on stage.
Get on stage,
right?
Try your stuff.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So
diving,
do whatever it takes. So yeah, that's one of the things. But in terms of diving, so it's not necessary to do a dive course unless you want to shoot marine life underwater,
right?
So then definitely do a dive course, and also it's a lot of fun, so that's the other reason to do it.
Yeah.
Also, if you're ever shooting even in a pool and it's super deep and you want to use dive equipment, it's just
nice. It's nice to know the ins and outs of
it. Would be good diving. To know, yeah, it's more helpful for you,
right?
What was I gonna say? Yeah, in terms of a dive course, just taking a camera and going down to dive, I've not done that because the diving course has levels.
Mm-hmm.
So the first level is an open water diver course.
Right, yeah, correct.
Which is, you can go down to like 18 meters and something. Then they have the next level, the advanced, and then the rescue, whatever.
Yeah.
And in that, there's a specialty called underwater photography.
Okay.
So then you have to specialize in that. And then you can sort of, because see, otherwise,
you're not qualified enough to shoot under.
Until then, there are so many elements that you have to take care of that it's not possible for you to focus on everything unless you know one thing properly. So unless you know how to dive properly, you can't have another element added to you, because when you're diving, you're responsible for your life.
Life, yeah.
It's not a cute thing like, oh, something's gone wrong, you can just fix it. No, everything that goes wrong in diving ends up in death.
Yeah.
So,
because, I mean, yeah, it's way deep into the ocean.
And, yeah,
there is not that much time to fix problems.
And it's not your natural environment, right? Like, what we are doing is unnatural in a way.
Hmm.
We are putting on equipment and we are dependent on our equipment when we are going down.
Yeah.
So you have to know how each and every single element of that equipment works. Your life depends
before
on
you
it.
Add more elements, like
before you
a
add
camera,
more
a lighting unit and things like that.
And also you have to you have to take care of your buoyancy and things like that. So when you're balancing that, then to add an element like a camera and then manage that, it's a bit difficult. It's challenging.
Like people who specialize in marine photography, is that a lot of investment of gear? Is like you obviously, I'm assuming you can't shoot with a simple housing, like how you said you shoot portfolios, etc., in controlled environments.
Mm.
I'm assuming when you go diving, like the costs of just investing on gear increases.
Yeah, it does. And in general, the underwater housing and equipment does cost a lot.
Right.
Even like a basic one, it costs a lot. Like imagine if your camera costs so much.
Yeah.
Then you're protecting something that costs so much. It's also going to be expensive.
And you can't cheap out on those things.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to cheap out on that.
Because you lose like then the camera gear also. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't want to cheap out on that. But in terms of diving and things like that, you don't have to own everything on your own. You can also rent out equipment.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So same thing. So if you want to save on your costs and things like that, there is always the option of renting.
Right. And where does revenue come from such an offbeat field? Like,
so there are
where is like a substantial place for revenue in this?
The substantial place for revenue from everywhere is rich people.
So just people buying prints, that is your number one.
Yeah, but it's many things. It's people getting those pictures done for themselves, like the wedding thing that you said. So it's their pictures, them getting pictures done. Sometimes it's designers with their clothes. Suppose their clothes are like, suppose it's like a flowy garment.
Yeah.
It would be so nice to show that underwater because you can represent that flow so well.
Yeah.
And that, so multiple things like that.
Yeah,
that's your market as well. Also people who buy prints, and it's not just rich people in this case. It's also like, say you see a hotel or a coffee shop a restaurant, you know, some of them have like a theme that they're following and prints that they put up.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's not just art collectors, it's places like that as
well. Because the only thought I had was National Geographic or like documentary films. Like those are the only places I've actually seen.
Yeah, but there's this
excessive
also.
Use. Yeah.
Yeah, the commercial it. Side of it.
Yeah, where you don't have to be a huge establishment to get.
Yeah, and also if you see, there are multiple places now where people sell their prints online.
Okay.
And so they are being bought all over the world. Like I have a friend of mine who's a photographer, and I think he sells images very regularly on 500 pix.com.
Yeah, 500 pixels, yeah.
That, and he earns a lot from his prints.
All right.
Yeah, just, and he's a travel photographer. Okay. Just by putting pictures there, he's been
earning. People are interested to buy good work.
A lot of people are interested in buying good work.
That's nice. And if somebody has to, like, tomorrow, very fascinated by underwater photography, wants to give it a shot. Oh, my English today. Wants to give it a shot, what is step one? Like, obviously, I'm assuming that you can't directly jump there. You first learn the basics of shooting on land. But where do you start? Is a course necessary? Is just a helpful friend enough?
I think with underwater photography, a course would be nice. A course would be really helpful. And there's a lot to learn with it.
Yeah.
So I think a course, or at least someone who can teach you the elements of it and guide you through it, is really important.
Right.
But in terms of learning photography and camera, yes, while I think a course is great and they guide you through it step by step and it's done really well, I also think that the first thing that people should do ever, if anyone is interested in photography, is that when you get a camera, read the camera manual.
Really?
Oh my God. See, you have a camera, don't you? And you've not read the manual.
The manual's
so
still inside.
I tell my students this all the time.
Yeah. Every year. Punya teaches photography at the Light and Life Academy.
Yes, I'm a visiting faculty at Light and Life Academy in Ooty. And I've been teaching that for 7 years.
Yeah.
And in all those 7 years, the first thing I tell my students is when you get a camera, read the camera manual. Nobody does that. And even when I got a camera, that's not the first thing I did.
Yeah.
And I realized later one day when I heard this and whatever, you know, it's something fun to ignore. You're like, who reads manuals?
Who reads manuals? Yeah,
see?
Exactly. Who does? I've not read a single manual. I mean, you figure things out all the way.
You figure things out, but there are so many things that your camera can do that you had no idea about.
Oh.
And your manual will tell you all those things. And so it's like you have something in your hand and you don't know everything that it can do.
Because maybe we just look at the manual as like technical buttons. Ye button wo karta hai.
Yeah, but there's so much information. Like, it's so important to know your camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you're taking pictures with a camera, it should not be me and a camera in my hand. Mm-hmm. It should be the camera should become an extension of you.
Right.
You should know it so well.
You should know exactly how much to move.
You should know every single thing about your camera.
Right.
And like, your camera should become your best friend. If you're really interested in photography, you know what you're seeing from your eyes.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of frame in your mind and a vision and something that you want to capture. You're literally recreating an image that was in your mind from this camera.
Right.
So shouldn't you know everything about it?
That's true.
Right? Yeah. It's like,
I mean, but nobody's ever thought of the manual. It was as simple as that.
Yeah. You have to read the camera manual. That's the best place to start.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's everything.
I know, but it's a very interesting
you must. So,
anecdote that I never thought.
Yeah. So once that's a great place to start, I'll say.
Yeah.
And then of course,
doing courses is
helpful. There's a lot of stuff online as well now.
Right.
Courses online that guide you through the basics.
Hey, come on. I think, Is learning underwater photography online like learning swimming online? Because like, I don't think it's practical.
Yeah, I think you need some practical experience.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
It's like learning swimming on YouTube.
Yeah, so like open YouTube and make notes. Like one hand in front of the other. Come up when you want to breathe. Nice. Got it.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. You actually have to do the work.
Yeah.
But it's a great place to start, at least. To get to know the basics of it. So like I said, if you have a person or a teacher, it just helps that much more, right? Because you have somebody right there in front of you telling you, no, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're learning online, you have to keep going back to it and finding more things. But what I meant was just to learn basics of photography. Online is a great place to start.
Yeah.
So learning your basics of exposure, your ISO, your shutter speed, your aperture, all that.
Right.
Of course, a course, again,
You advocate a course.
I advocate a course. I did a course.
Yeah, you teach at a course.
But it's not be all end all. You know, like some people can't afford it, or some people are doing other things. Like they have jobs, but they also want to do this on the side.
Hmm.
So it's not be all end all. You can do it online. You're still doing a course.
Yeah.
But you can learn, and now there are so many options available online that are so great.
Yeah, that is true. You can learn anything online.
Yeah, that also. And at the end of the day, it comes down to practice.
Yeah.
You have to practically implement what you've learned. You can't just take notes and be like, "Haasi clear, I'm expert.
I'm done now." Yeah. Is there something you always wanted to do with underwater that you still haven't had time to? Like some one baby project that you can talk about?
A lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of things. So I'm really inspired by a bunch of photographers.
Okay.
And one of them is Howard Schatz. I'm talking about like underwater photographers. Yeah. There are two that I, actually more than two.
Hmm.
There's Howard Schatz. That's the first person that I saw underwater work. There's Seth Castile. Now, okay. Seth Castile does something interesting. He shoots dogs underwater. And
oh
what he does is, I think you might have come across these images somewhere, okay? What he does is, he like throw a Costco ball or something in water.
Right.
And a dog will like jump to grab it. And that's the exact moment that he captures. So he has these crazy images of dogs in action underwater.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think those are so cool. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a project that I want to do that I haven't done yet, I want to shoot animals underwater.
You really want to shoot animals? Like not wildlife?
Not wildlife. No, no, no. Like, yes. Okay. I want to specify that.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to shoot animals underwater. Sorry, not wildlife underwater. But yeah, I want to do something with animals. Maybe like people and their pets or something. But only with animals that are comfortable in water. And
yeah,
most dogs are.
Yeah.
So that is something that I'm really interested in.
So any people out there who have pets, pet parents out there who want to shoot cute portfolios with their... Pets,
that yeah. And I also want to shoot babies underwater.
Oh, please. That's...
Do you remember or have you ever seen that? I think it was a Nirvana album.
Yes. Of
right?
A baby. The cover photo.
Yeah.
The album cover is a
baby.
Yeah.
And somehow that image has always stayed in my mind. And I think that would be something really cool.
It'll become really metaphorical to put a kid under. your childhood is suffocated. No, sorry. Okay.
Wow. Some deep issues coming out.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Babies underwater. I don't know if people are going to volunteer.
Some might. You know, they have underwater births as well.
Birds.
Birth. Birth of a baby underwater.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Have you never seen or heard of this?
No, I haven't.
It's a way of giving birth.
Right.
Where the mother is sitting like in a tub.
Oh.
And of course it's clean and sterilized and things like that, but she's sitting in a tub underwater and the baby is born underwater. I've actually read somewhere that it's actually better for the babies or it's good for the babies or something like that.
Right.
And it's really good for the mother as well, apparently.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Look, we have learned something new tonight. Too many new things. Okay, but we're running out of time. So before we close this podcast, I like to always end it with like one memorable / fun story from your work, which is underwater photography for today. Or like if you want to talk about an aha moment that you had.
I will talk about an aha moment. That would be great. I don't have any one particular memorable story, first of all.
Right.
I just had a... This is not something I ever thought I would do.
Right.
And I just happened to get into it. And I think that's been the case with all my careers. So all my careers. Like I have like some 2000. You know me. No, but it's happened to me. This is not something I ever thought I'd do.
Yeah.
And what is really interesting, I'll tell you a couple of things, is that when I first learned swimming, I was a kid, first of all, in school.
Yeah.
I tried to learn. I started learning. But you know, swimming coaches can be really mean.
Yeah, like did throw you in the deep end of the pool, literally.
Did that ever happen to you?
No, mine was a very sweet guy.
Dude, mine was not. He threw me in the deep end and I was so upset that I didn't... You know, when they throw you in the deep end, you're supposed to swim the entire length?
Yeah.
I did not. I swam sideways. I got out of the pool. Because even as a kid, I was like, how could you throw me? How dare you? So I was just like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I never went back. I really regret missing out on those years of learning swimming because I then didn't know. But one aha moment I had was when I was taking pictures on one of these shoots.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I don't use a tank all the time because you have to rent it and it's not always available. And also I'm shooting in the shallow end, so I don't really need oxygen.
You need oxygen, but you can just come up for air.
Right?
Yeah.
So I have this weight belt that I wear and then I go down and I stay down. One really cool aha moment I had is I had these friends helping me, like they were diver friends and they were helping me with the shoot.
Right.
So one was standing outside and he was holding a reflector and there was the model who would go down and come up for me to take pictures of her. And on top, I'd explain to her what I wanted her to do. And so I would explain to her, hold my breath, go down, and wait for the model. Then she'd come down and I'd have those few seconds to take pictures of her as she's floating up.
Floating back up,
okay?
Yeah.
One really cool thing that happened once was I was taking pictures. I had explained to the model what I wanted. I went down, I was taking pictures. This model would go up, come down again, go up, come down again, go up, come down again. And I did not come up for air. Oh. For the longest time. And so finally when I came up for air, it had been a long time, like some 2 minutes or something.
Oh,
which
wow.
Yeah. And the weird part is normally if I try to hold my breath underwater, I can't.
Right.
Okay. But because I was taking pictures at that time, I didn't even realize.
And you were getting such good
I was getting such images, good pictures. Yeah. I was totally in the zone and I was really comfortable. I was not getting uncomfortable at all.
Wow. That your body forgot that it needs to breathe.
Yeah. And also your body starts training and getting used to. But yeah. I never realized that.
Yeah.
And so when I was like, when I finally came up for air, one of my friends was like, dude, I looked down a bunch of times just to check if you were okay. And he was like, it was that was really freaky. And I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah.
And it was so, and that was my aha moment that I realized, oh my God, I love this so much.
Yeah.
That I was so lost in it that I literally forgot to breathe.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the coolest things that I realized. But then after that, I thought I was super cool. And I tried to while swimming, hold my breath in the water. Can't do it.
Can't do it. It has to be a moment.
While I'm shooting, while I have the camera, while I'm in the zone. And obviously, I wouldn't advise anyone to do it if you're getting uncomfortable.
Right.
But that is something that happened with me and I had no idea. It was really cool.
Nice. So fun, so much fun. So much fun, Punya. Thank you for getting on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Before we leave, do you want to let people know where they can find your work?
Yes. Actually, as of now, you can find my work on Behance. Yeah. It's a website where artists upload their portfolios. So it's behance.net/Punya Arora. Another thing, I've recently started. So I had taken a break from photography.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm starting to get back into it. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is I want to sell prints.
Yeah.
So I will have my website ready soon. It should be up in a few months or 2-3 months. We'll talk about that later. But as of now, I've just started uploading little work on Instagram.
Yeah.
The handle is called Studio Puns.
Yes, that's it. Studio Puns on Instagram.
Yes, Studio Puns on Instagram, where I've started to upload my work.
So you can go, if you're listening, you can go check out Studio Puns on Instagram and leave her a comment if you came from the podcast.
Yay.
So she knows that people got there from here. And Punya is also a stand-up comedian. So if you want to check out her funny side, you can catch her at one of her shows and follow her on Instagram at Click Madness.
Yes, Click Madness.
Okay, amazing. So this was the episode, ladies and gentlemen. I will see you next week with another one. This episode number 5 of the Walks of Life podcast. If you made it all the way to the end, thank you so much. If you like the episode, do find me on social media. I go by Comic Curry on Twitter and Facebook, and by Traveling Chaiwala on Instagram. So find me on these social media platforms and let me know what you thought about the podcast. If you have good things to say, say it. If you have bad things to say, send it on a personal message and I will get back to you. Thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you in 2 Fridays with another episode of the Walks of Life podcast. Have a good week ahead.